Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Hope you had a lovely weekend for the what?
Go to her first, so then I can do this thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We had a lovely stage instructions. That's good. I hope you had a lovely weekend. It was beautiful weather, at least most of it. So hopefully it was where you were, and you had a wonderful time. You can write to us, roundtable@wamc.org. We have a lot to talk about, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me introduce our panel. I'm going to introduce Libby first. Libby, good morning. Libby Post is the a political consultant. She joins us regularly on the program. We love to have her.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank
I
you
love
very
being
me.
Here.
You're well.
Thank you for giving me first billing.
Well, as you
rightly deserve, but that's
yes,
okay.
I mean,
certainly it is. Maybe we should do that all the time. Oh,
I won't. I think that's a good idea.
I protest.
Do you? Okay, you can go first next time. Okay.
Head of the journalism program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
And WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Alan, good morning.
Good morning. I've always wondered about the word chagrined. What does it mean? What is chagrined? If he was chagrined,
my mother would say you were smiling between your teeth
and sort of embarrassed.
Yeah,
embarrassed.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
it's
what I
heard.
Okay,
it's also
that,
a waterfall in Ohio.
Is it
Chagrin Falls? Yeah.
Well, okay. Here's what happened this morning. I was on doing my 7:45 commentary, and due to a little bit of an editing error on my part, something got left out. I was talking about the Senate campaign. Is a very tough Senate campaign going on in Berkshire County for the state Senate seat of Ben Downing, right? And I announced that incorrectly that one of the debates for state Senate would be done by a Williams College professor, James Mahone, but it turns out not to be the case. Two debates at Berkshire Community College on Thursday, August 11th, Williams College political science professor James Mahone will moderate the debate for the third Berkshire state representative seat at 6 o'clock. It pits Michael Bloomberg, not the same one, a distant relation, against state representative Tricia Farley Bouvier. Pittsfield City Councilor Chris Connell is running as an independent. And Judge Frederick Rutberg, who is now the president of the Berkshire Eagle, will moderate the state Senate candidate debate at 7 o'clock, which will include Rinaldo Delgado, Andrea Harrington, Adam Hines, who are running for the seat being vacated by the very popular Senator Ben Downing. The Democrat has represented the Berkshire, Hampshire, Franklin, and Hamden district for a decade. I am so sorry I got it wrong in the beginning. I announced that the Williams College guy would be doing the
well,
other
a 20-minute commercial should make up for it.
Right.
I hope so.
Yeah, okay.
And
so you just flipped over.
My most sincerest apology.
However, you got the dates and times correct.
Right.
And
oh,
places.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
All right, we're good to go. Correction made, and we can move on. There's a lot to talk about, and I think when last we left you on Friday, we were still waiting for an endorsement from Donald Trump.
It came
to Paul Ryan and to John McCain and
Kellyanne,
right?
It was.
Well, it just proves he can actually read from a piece of paper.
And he made it clear these were not
right,
his words.
Right.
He not have made it.
That's for sure. It was like
eyes downcast,
right.
Reading. You know, in that little first
grade
reader voice.
I am endorsing these people.
He is a very good person.
Yes.
And then he made a
face.
He did.
He was like, meh. It was that kind of face. It was a meh face. So,
in other words, this is called having one.
He's
cake
a brat.
He is
and
a brat.
Eating it.
Eating it too.
Right.
And
then
the
maybe
Statler
spitting
brothers,
it up.
Or the Statler's brother tune, Kate and Edith too.
I have to say, I found it rather funny. And if I were one of his supporters, I would have liked that. It's like, okay, I have to do this, so I'm doing it. But we all know that it's all.
Sure.
Right.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
It's all show.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it was very similar to what he has said earlier in the week, which is, I'm not there yet.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was bratty, too.
Yeah.
Right?
It was. Yeah. I have to say.
Well, I don't want to stick up for Donald Trump, certainly. People have been sending.
No one does, except
people supporters. Have been sending me their songs that they've written about. There's a guy, Donald Trump is always quoting the song The Snake. You know about The Snake? It's about he takes the woman who takes the snake into the house and pets it and is nice to it, and it bites her. and poisons her, and she's going to die as a result of this. And the idea, I believe, is that he's the analogy is to immigrants. You see,
my God,
that he's done. So people have been sending me copies of their versions.
Of the Any of them X-rated?
Maybe you can sing some of them.
Well,
play the banjo.
Maybe tomorrow we can. We might
fun.
Be able to put one on. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, so
I'm off later in the week. Feel free to do.
I like it.
Oh, Raymond.
Yeah. Well, Ray likes music, though.
I know he does. Yeah, yeah, that's true. All right, so we have the endorsements, and I don't know whatever that means. However, what we are also seeing is we've seen some Republicans endorse Hillary Clinton, one, and we've seen some Republicans, endorse Gary Johnson. Right. Do you think we'll see more of this? I asked the panel.
Well, you're seeing more than just one Republican endorse Hillary. There are many who have endorsed Hillary. It's just one elected congressman. Who's endorsed Hillary, and he's
actually,
retiring.
Actually, it's two now, right? It's two.
No. One,
we had...
The other guy endorsed Gary Johnson.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
I'm
and
so
he's
sorry.
Also retiring. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like these guys are hedging their bets. They have nothing to lose. But there have been a lot of Republicans who have endorsed Hillary, and especially in the last couple of weeks.
Right. I'm talking about people who
don't
are seeking
endorse,
office.
Vote.
And what?
Don't endorse, vote.
Right. Don't boo, vote.
Right. I paraphrase.
Okay,
Obama.
Fine.
So what do you make of that, Rosemary?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that it's a new insight. Donald Trump is an embarrassment, and he is not Republican. He does not uphold conservative or Republican values, so it isn't surprising at all that people want to back away from him, but there's still this great distaste for Hillary, so I think the third parties will benefit, but I can't imagine either of them doing particularly well. They are very unattractive candidates. I've spent some time looking at their positions and at their presentations. I mean, we're not talking Ralph Nader here.
Alan?
Well, I think this is a tough one for everybody. The Republican Party has the establishment candidates are just that. They're establishment guys. You have the Bushes. You have people like that. And Trump has been campaigning, saying, I'm beholden, basically, to no one.
Right.
And therefore, when the establishment does something to endorse or semi-endorse or anything else, say something favorable, Kasich or any of these other guys, they are seen, Trump goes, ho-hum, there they go again. The establishment is after me. And that, we don't know whether that actually helps him. It certainly helped him during the primaries. And so this becomes a very difficult position for the Republican Party. The other thing is that a lot of these guys, we've said it before, we'll say it again, need to win their elections. And if people desert them because they didn't vote for the guy who they voted for, in other words, Trump, in the primaries, they maybe feel they should go to another place. So this is a very difficult thing to analyze. It's a no-win for the Republican establishment types.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
How much can they just go to their own drumbeat and kind of forget that there is Donald Trump at the top of the ticket?
Well, I think that you're going to see the RNC do that and put a lot more money into the down-ticket races. I think they know that they are teetering on the loss of the Senate, and it's more and more going to the Democratic side. When states like Georgia are trending blue in the presidential election, you know that there's a sea change coming. Whether they'll take the House, whether the Democrats will take a House is another story. But I think the RNC will put their money in the down ballot races and let Trump fend for himself.
As we just got a note, I would read it, even when not called on by Joe to read.
Oh, well, go right ahead.
Please read a note.
No, right. I'd like to read a note.
Is it 140 characters?
From CWI, yes.
Okay.
As of Morning Joe this morning, credible sources have told him there will be a well-funded third-party candidate. Scarborough's guess is it will be for the sole purpose of defeating Trump.
I just saw something that it's a retired Army vet who's going to run on the independent line.
Let me just point out that we're in August. It's way past the time for any of this to work.
That's for sure.
Ralph Perot. Look at
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot.
Ralph
look
is
at
his brother.
Look at
sorry to everyone named Ralph.
No, I can't get my thoughts together. Look at George Wallace. Well, these are people who had a much wider appeal and lots more time, and they did not succeed. Ralph Nader, I mentioned. So how is somebody put up, some general, as you put it, put up in August, ever going to make a difference?
Well, no. The difference, of course, is that he might be just enough to take enough votes away so that they're sure they're not going to end up with a Republican with a Republican candidate who they don't like winning. And
so,
that, yeah.
The reports are that it's Evan McMullen.
Right.
That's funny.
And so, but.
Wasn't he a cartoon character?
No.
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't
it's a little joke. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a former CIA officer.
Yeah, that'll do it all.
Never
right.
served in elected office, and not that this is is an arbiter of anything.
Not this year.
But he had a. He wasn't well known, and they pointed out that as of this morning he only had about 600 Twitter followers. So like, we're not talking about a major guy here.
There's a group of people I know as the Whohees. That's WHO-HES, Whohees. Right? Is there an apostrophe in there somewhere? Whohees.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to follow.
There's a whole bunch of people.
Who is he?
Who nobody ever heard of.
Okay. Whohees.
And Whohees. Whohees. Get it with a question mark?
Got
at the end. Okay, now you get it?
Yeah.
All right.
And
so that's
just
it.
So you know, he's a former CIA officer who now serves as chief policy director of the House Republican Conference. So if he's the chief policy director of the House Republican Conference, one would think that perhaps someone who just got endorsed by Donald, who it was a half-hearted endorsement, might be behind this, because I don't think anyone who works for the Republican conference in the House would do anything without the blessing of the
You're
speaker.
Right.
Also, Joe Scarborough was also the one to report last week that he had it on high authority that Donald Trump, during a discussion on national security, kept on asking why we can't use nuclear weapons or four times, which has not been, I believe, corroborated by any other source other than Joe Scarborough, but it is what it is. And I'll also say it doesn't sound like it's hard to believe.
I thought it came from a national security person. I thought
he just reported it, but he never gave the name or anything that wasn't confirmed.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I'm not a big admirer of that guy. I like our Morning Joe, but I don't like this.
I don't like him either, and he also has very close ties up to now he's had with Trump. So
but he has.
He's trying to back away.
Right. Not that I'm defending him in any way, because I do think he's on the right to the right of Attila the Hun. But
it's not like Sean Hannity.
Right. Right. But he has disavowed. I think any rational thinking Republican at this point has to disavow.
Well, the most damning thing this weekend, I thought, was the ex-CIA head who said that Putin has turned Trump, who targeted him and turned him into an unwitting ally. Jeez. I mean, a presidential candidate. Think of that. Was it only me who had... And I don't like him. Not like Donald Trump. But wouldn't that give pause even to the most angry?
No, the answer is no.
No. God. Because they don't want to think.
Don't convince me with the facts.
Right. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Yeah.
They just don't want to think. They want a man who's going to get rid of all the people of color. That's what they want, so that they can be white and in charge again.
By the way, I agree with you. I think that's what this is all about.
It's all about race. It's been about race since 2008.
Yep.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some letters, and then we'll move on. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. One of the stories breaking this morning is out of Japan. In a televised address, Emperor Akihito, 82 years old, spoke publicly for the first time about retiring, saying he fears it will become, quote, more difficult to fulfill his duties. If he steps down, it could redefine the world's oldest hereditary monarchy. An abdication could also resurrect the debate over allowing a woman on the throne.
There's also a religious element. There's also a religious element to this, because he's the head of the Shinto group, as I read in the New York Times this morning. So therefore, he is extraordinarily powerful. You know, I read something. I wish I could tell you where, that basically said that the party in power, Abe's power group, have part of that coalition are the right-wingers. And so you see things coming up like, we want the power to have our people allowed to go to war for the first time. Remember, it's a pacifist constitution. You're not allowed to. And they want to change it to be able to do that. Now, those people who believe in the sanctity of the, you know, of the ruler, don't want to let it happen. And Abe is being very cautious about the whole thing and saying, "Well, we have to study this. We've never heard that before."
So the
no kidding.
The plan is that he wants to pass the title to his son, Prince Naruhito. 56 years old. He shares his father's demeanor, and by all indications, he wishes to keep the monarchy apolitical. But Japanese law, which says an emperor serves until death, makes no provision for abdication. Parliament would have to change the law for Akihito to step down from the throne, which has been held by the family for almost 2,700 years.
That's a long time.
That's a... It's quite a reign.
Is that the longest reigning monarchical family?
How does the woman get into this? I thought he was just going to put his son in his stead if he left.
Yeah, how does the woman get into
this? Well, it talks once again about the debate, brings up the debate of how a woman could be, and asks Parliament to change the rules, though he could also do so in the most indirect words. And let me get this to you for a second. Do I have time to get this to you, or should I do this on break and then come back?
Well, whatever's easiest for you.
I didn't mean to throw a.
Well, I want to get you. There's a line in this article, but I want to just get to it.
Yeah,
correctly.
Okay, so
talk amongst yourselves for a second. Let me find
okay, so but what it isn't is that there is a woman who would. Naturally, under ordinary circumstances, like Queen Elizabeth, serve. What this is just in case this ever comes up again. I mean, I don't think there.
Okay.
I mean?
Does royalty matter in Japan?
The law says that only men can inherit the throne, a provision that is increasingly in dispute. A decade ago, during a debate about whether the law should be changed, opened the way for female monarchs. Conservatives in the right-leaning Liberal Democratic Party were firmly opposed, but now with the changes coming in, this may come into the parliamentary change. Does that make sense, Rosemary?
It does make sense.
Okay.
Okay, I won't ask anything more.
No, that's okay. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll get all our facts straight, and we'll be back on that.
BBC News with David Austin. Police in Pakistan's Balochistan province say a suicide attack on a hospital in Quetta has killed 63 people. At least 18 of those who died were lawyers, paying tribute to the head of the provincial bar association who'd been shot dead shortly before. Delta Airlines says it's resumed a limited number of flights hours after it was forced to suspend operations worldwide following a major systems failure. Delta said the problems were caused by a power cut at its headquarters in Atlanta. Both the Syrian government and its opponents are reported to have sent reinforcements into the crucial battle for the city of Aleppo. Over the weekend, sweeping rebel advances broke a siege that had been imposed on the eastern neighbourhoods under their control. Japan's Emperor Akihito has hinted at his willingness to step down. In a rare address, he said he was worried that age and ill health could soon prevent him from carrying out his full duties. Dozens of officials in the Philippines have turned themselves in a day after the president, Rodrigo Duterte, publicly linked them to the drugs trade. Those who've surrendered include mayors and police chiefs. The South African cricket authorities have banned four players over match-fixing allegations. The players include the former international wicketkeeper Tamid Solukile, who was banned for 12 years. A Roman Catholic priest whose image went worldwide at the height of the Troubles in Northern Ireland has died. It's more than 44 years since footage of Dr. Edward Daly was broadcast, showing him waving a blood-stained handkerchief as one of the victims of what became known as Bloody Sunday was carried from the scene. The head of Russia's Paralympic Committee says the decision to ban all its athletes from next month's Rio Games because of doping is a grave human rights abuse. Vladimir Lukin said most Russian Paralympians were absolutely clean. That's the latest BBC News.
Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment, EYE. dentityeyewearalbany.com. MPAC, Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center, where the arts, sciences, and technology interact and influence each other. MPAC.rpi.edu for details. And from Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. From Maria College, Albany, bachelor's and associate's degrees in health sciences, nursing, liberal arts, and management, day, evening, and weekend programs. Fast Track Admissions Day this Thursday, 9 to 6, newmariacollege.com. Coldiman Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years, CNHArchitects.com. Beacon Fine Art Printing, Beacon, offering museum-quality digital archival printing, scanning, retouching, and mounting for artists, photographers, galleries, and art enthusiasts. BeaconFineArtPrinting.com. And from R.H. Van Alstyne Fine Jewelry and Gifts, featuring custom jewelry designs created with colored gemstones, pearls, diamonds, and precious metals. 42 Main Street, Chatham, New York, VanAlstyneJewelry.com.
What are the rules? We ask that a lot. What are the rules? What are the rules of the game? What are the rules to do this when we go to this
it's
place?
All
what are the
it's
rules?
All rigged.
What are the rules? Well, the Obama administration has disclosed its rules and procedures for targeting individuals for killing outside conventional war zones, including with drones, further lifting the secrecy surrounding one of its most disputed tactics for fighting terrorism. The newly declassified document shows that if the top lawyers and leaders of the department and agencies in the National Security Council agree that a proposed strike would be lawful and appropriate, the Pentagon or Central Intelligence Agency can proceed. If they disagree, or if the person to be targeted is an American citizen, the matter must go to the president for a decision. President Obama issued the 18-page set of rules, sometimes called the Drone Strike Playbook, but formerly known as the Presidential Policy Guidance, in May of 2013. It was classified, although the administration publicly said it tightened standards for strikes, including requirements the targets must pose a threat to Americans and the near certainty that there would be no civilian deaths. The government had said this year that it intended to make the guidance public as part of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit brought by the American Civil Liberties Union. It provided the document to the ACLU late Friday, and the organization posted it on its website over the weekend.
Well, it's either, I mean, I've always said that you can't have a democracy without having the people who participate in the democracy know the rules. And it seems to me increasingly, Rosemary, this becomes a specialty of yours. I know this. But increasingly that we have the stuff we know about and all the stuff we don't know about.
Right.
And, you know, Obama obviously is doing the right thing here. However, when you get into the substance of it, the absolute certainty that there would be no civilian casualties, that's a tough one. That is what most people have against it. Then there are other people who feel that there's a balance here. The balance is, you want boots on the ground, or do you want to have drone strikes? And there will be people who say, well, that's not really a choice that we have. But it is, and it is a choice that a president has to make. And
so, just so I fully understand what you're saying, so in other words, you can have rules, but we have to make sure you're actually abiding by the rules.
Well, we also have to decide, it's tough, because we have to also decide whether, if you have a rule, it's a rule that makes any sense that you could adhere to. And, you know, what people have against the drone strikes is it kills other people who are around. Sometimes they're children. Sometimes they're others.
Or it kills American citizens without due process, which is sort of a constitutional right.
The issue is, for me, the ACLU, and I agree with them with the Freedom of Information, and I think people should be able to read this document and all of that. But one of their things is that using drones has therefore normalized this practice of killing people away from conventional battlefields. And the fact of the matter is, there are no more conventional battlefields. You know, we have the Bardathon Theater. We have Nice. We have Boko Haram and what they do. That these are not conventional battlefields anymore, and we're supposed to still be fighting a war with World War II standards. And we saw how well that worked in Vietnam, where we went in as World War II standards, and they were conducting guerrilla warfare. And, you know, so many of our boys got killed. And so to say that, oh, it's got to stay within conventional battlefields, there are no conventional battlefields anymore. And our way of fighting has to change to reflect that.
So in other words, let me get to you.
Just one real quick thing. Just not Bardathon, but Bardathon.
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 Right.
Not the Bardathon Theater in the Poughkeepsie.
Not Poughkeepsie, but the one in Paris.
Sure. Wonderful theater.
I just want to make sure they know.
Paris.
Bardathon.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Sorry. Friends. Thank you. You know, my French isn't what it used to be.
Okay.
And it wasn't that good to begin with.
To me, the issue is transparency. I applaud the ACLU for pressing this. It's great that Obama administration let it out. And now we begin the debate on the issues you two have just brought up, like how do we fight? Are the rules, do they make any sense? We couldn't do that before we were given the chance to. I also would point out that this now declassified document is far more incendiary than anything Hillary Clinton was ever accused of writing about. Our classification rules stink. What's get classified, how long it stays classified, under what circumstances it's declassified. And if Hillary Clinton could just get her act together and stop acting like a lawyer defending herself and talk about the real issues of the email case, we would be talking about it more.
Well, she does have her vice presidential candidate now to speak for her. Which
he did. He went.
Yeah, but he's just apologizing. It's still lawyer stuff.
I was just being a little bit cynical. About the whole
thing. She just can't. The NABJ conference this past weekend was a wonderful forum. It was a sympathetic and open conference. And they go, okay, talk to us.
This is
about
where
it.
Tim Kaine spoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
well,
defend.
She did,
no,
too.
And
she spoke there.
Yeah. She spoke.
And they go, okay, tell us about this. And she's still doing the, well, I spoke over Chris Wallace and Comey said this, but I think it means that. No, that's not what's needed.
So what's the right move on her part? What should she do?
Oh, I wish that I were a PR spokesman, because what I would have to do is talk about, I never knowingly sent classified information.
Well,
as it turns out now,
our definition of classification differs in the different government departments, and we don't have. And anyway, I never sent anything of importance to anybody outside of my own rank, all of whom had security clearance.
Rosemary, dear,
that's splitting hairs.
Let me just say,
I'm feeling Hillary's pain.
Let me just say, you're wrong. I think my eighth grade math teacher, Mrs. Zwick, knew exactly what she was saying when she said, "Shut up, keep shut." That's what she should do. She's already made her defense. It hasn't convinced an awful lot of people, but shut up already.
Well, I would agree with that, but she doesn't shut up. She should never have done that Chris Wallace interview.
I agree.
But then if she should never have done that Chris Wallace interview, she will never do another interview ever,
because
she'll always be asked about this. She just needs to
have
a better
way to talk about it.
You know, and one of the things that she could do is say, I made a mistake. And I'm sorry.
She said that repeatedly, and that doesn't buy it. I don't think she did make a mistake.
I don't
think
either.
She thinks she made a mistake.
Well, she didn't, and that's why, because everybody else did the same thing.
The words are like stuck in her mouth. It's just like Donald Trump, who was reading because he didn't really think of it. Hillary's insincerity about this is that it comes out all like jumbled, like it does sound like she's lying.
But for some reason, they or she really think they have to turn this one around.
And they should
Hello,
just leave it alone.
You're not turning it around. It's going
it
to go
like
away.
It's like Benghazi. They're just, you know,
Take
I think
the
she
loss, as they
totally
say.
Did nothing wrong in Benghazi. And that went on and on and on. And this one's going to happen, too.
Well, because
maybe she just roll her eyes when they mention
because
that.
There's nothing else to go after her on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's the issue here. There's nothing else to go after her on. What are they going to do? Some people are
Vince Foster.
Because of Bill. Right.
Yeah,
Vince Foster, all these other kinds of conspiracy theory stuff, and that's all they trade on.
Well, look, they did it to Obama with immigration, with being a Muslim, and they will continue to do that kind of nonsense.
Carl Palladino. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
What'd he do?
He had referred to Obama's
as a Muslim.
Muslim background.
Yeah.
Well, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. This week. I mean, not like 2 years ago.
No. He did it this week. I wonder if he had his baseball bat with him. I'll never forget the night he conceded to Andrew
Let's remember he ran for governor against Andrew Cuomo
for governor, and he stood there conceding with a baseball bat in his hand, and I thought, oh my God!
Doesn't it just figure that he's a big Trump supporter?
Oh, absolutely!
In New York? Oh my
There's
gosh.
No two way they're the same person, just
it's,
with different
it's
hair.
True, he's got
I think
out.
My elitist tendencies are coming out. It's like, yeah. Oh my God!
OMG!
OMG!
All right, let's go to a couple letters, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back.
Okay. See, what happened is my thing got upgraded. Right, so now you got to put the if it
your
goes
device.
To sleep from
thing
yeah.
Got upgraded.
Yeah, which thing would that be?
Now you got to okay. to answer your question,
we're going after millennials here.
Yes,
we're tech savvy on the round table.
Oh yeah, Joe said that right. And now let's see. And Roger says instead 15% of the polls needed for appearance in the presidential debates, participation should include all candidates officially on the ballot in enough states to theoretically win 270 electoral votes. I am not going more than that. It was over the number. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for that. And Joni says, ABC reports that former CIA agent McMullen launched his bid for president, also served as a Mormon missionary in Brazil. So my guess is that his bid to keep Utah from going to Hillary.
Does Hillary have a chance for Utah?
They thought that she
They had zero votes for Obama at the last election.
Well, but these, you know, you've got Mitt Romney, who's against Trump.
Peter says, Trump read those endorsements like he was in a hostage video. We are talking about the endorsements of
Paul
McCain
Ryan.
And Paul
right.
Ryan. Yeah.
He just didn't have a bag over his head.
Yeah. And
That's
Tony
funny.
Says, hi, Roundtable. Visited the JFK Museum Library recently. It was a great trip. And if memory serves, the Nixon-Kennedy campaigns lasted 61 days from start to finish. Point made. Good morning, says Joseph. Mm.
Well, I'm meaning you could do it. You know, we don't have to play it out.
We didn't have the internet. We did not have the.
This campaign started in January of 20. What are we in? 2016 of 2015.
By the way, have you been to the JFK Presidential Museum?
I have always wanted to.
It's really cool. Have you been there?
I have not.
Awesome.
I've been to Johnson.
The Johnson in Austin, which is a great museum too. But man, is it cool. It's very, very, it's beautiful because it's right on the water, but it's also just very, very cool and really interesting in
but
the campaign.
But you have to drive into and then park in Boston.
But
that's
no,
the
park, they have their own, they have their own lot.
Ah.
Yeah,
okay,
I didn't have to, I don't think they did that.
It's
I think
easy.
I parked there. Yeah.
Okay.
Joseph writes, good morning, panel. Good morning. If I'd like to point out to you who bore things all gun. This was a woman's rifle shooter who honored herself and her country by winning the very first gold medal in the Olympics of the USA.
One of my favorite Olympic stories so far is the Hungarian swimmer. They call her the Iron Woman. She's just like massively built and very powerful. She didn't just win her swimming event. She just blew away all the records. And the commentator on NBC said, you know, she's married to her coach, and that's the man responsible for this win. And feminists all over the world are saying, what? That's outrageous. Good, stand up. She deserves the credit.
Absolutely. Let's take a break. We'll be back and continue with we'll be back with more. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from The Mount, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting Touchstones, a literary series hosted by Kate Bollock and featuring New York Times film critic and author A.O. Scott. August 11th, edithwharton.org. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York, presenting As You Like It, Measure for Measure, an all-female Macbeth and more, through September 5th, hvshakespeare.org. Hive 321 in Schoharie, bringing you a mix of antiques from vintage to modern to industrial, handcrafted and local products, custom-blended teas, hive321.com. And from Utica College, working to help solve the college affordability issue with its tuition reset initiative, utica.edu/affordable.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Our group this morning is Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arameo, and Libby Post. Went the opposite direction.
Back in last place.
Yes.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? Just don't call me late for dinner.
I'll do it for you in the middle. You'll get top billing, Rosemary, I promise. All three will have them in place. Anyway, so after touring a federal prison last week, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, said he was more determined than ever to push through comprehensive criminal justice legislation that would cut mandatory minimum sentences and create new programs to ease prisoners' reentry into their communities. Mr. Booker, one of the chief backers of the Senate criminal justice package, said he was beginning to lose hope that the legislation could move this year. Senator Mitch McConnell, the Kentucky Republican and majority leader, has refused to put a bill on the floor despite strong bipartisan support. Some Senate Republicans have dug in against it, and opposition intensified this week when President Obama commuted the sentences of more than 200 federal prisoners, including 67 serving life sentences. Meanwhile, there are those who are for this. Paul Ryan has indicated that he will schedule votes on House criminal justice bills next month, leaving open the possibility that Congress could act still this year. Cory Booker said, if Mitch McConnell doesn't want to get this done, I really believe that Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, and Paul Ryan can get it done on their watch.
Mm-hmm. Explain to me why McConnell is against this bill. What is it he wants Senator to spend his time doing?
Because it looks like the Republicans don't want to be seen as soft on crime.
Right. And he doesn't want to do anything that's going to be supported by someone of color.
Law-abiding Americans are apoplectic with the lack of law and order we have seen during President Obama's tenure.
Yeah, give me a break.
According to Senator David Perdue.
Yeah. Wow.
Crime
and
is down.
And chickens.
Crime is down.
Crime is down.
Some police officers.
Well, yes, but crime overall is down. Murder is down. And most
you can go back for whatever you want.
Part of the problem is most of these people who are in jail are men of color who are busted for drugs, mm-hmm. and it costs billions of dollars every year, and it does nothing for the quote unquote war on drugs.
Yep.
Well, you said it earlier in the program, Libby. I thought it took guts, and I think you were right when you said this thing was all about color, this election was all about color.
Yes.
And I think in large part it is, and this is just one more extension of
yep.
that.
Absolutely.
But
well, isn't this what Barack Obama wants to spend his post-presidency on also? He wants to work on a reform of the criminal justice system, especially at the federal level.
Well, you know,
if he goes to the Supreme Court, he'll get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Too soon. I don't know that Hillary could pull that off.
I don't
see that happening.
William Howard Taft.
Yeah, but it wasn't right after he got out of office.
No, he'd gained a little weight.
He was never a thin man.
Yeah, I think Obama needs to wait, and you know, I think it would be so transparently, you know, tit for tat if she put him on the Supreme Court right away.
Okay, so there's that story, and there are a lot of good Olympic stories, but I don't know how many people are.
I love that new gymnast. Are you watching it? I'm watching some of this stuff.
I'm watching. Yeah. I can.
Yeah, I
you
love
know,
it.
I love about this Olympics. I was corrected the other day on the radio or on the in the mail, but it turned out that I wasn't wrong, which is that many of the events, not all of them, but many of the events are airing live because we're on a similar time.
They're only an hour ahead of us.
Right. So last night in much of the swimming, not all of it, much of the swimming and as well as gymnastics ran live. And boy, is that fun to watch live.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Malcolm
better.
Gladwell was on one of the, it was on Fareed Zakaria this weekend with an interesting idea that why are we running the Olympics the way we are?
This was Fareed Zakaria potty mouth or was he okay?
He was potty mouth. He did the whole BS thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, Malcolm Gladwell's ideas, why do all the Olympics have to be held in the same place? For example, why do you have runners in equatorial Brazil running? Why not put them like in, I don't know, Iceland or Sweden or someplace? And why do they all have to be at the same time, the same place, creating the horrible security situation that we have?
It's all about money.
Money, right.
It's all about advertising. It's all about what the home country is willing to put up in terms of its guarantees.
Well, we could talk about the economic impact of the Olympics on Brazil, which have not been all good news.
No, well, it's been horrible news, mostly.
And then widely reported.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Gladwell believes that the Olympics breed inevitable corruption, and the only way to fix the games is to break them up.
Again, you know, that conglomerational in one place brings about great deals of money, and therefore corruption follows almost naturally afterwards.
I think if they did that, no network's going to bid to air it. It would be way too expensive to have teams all over the globe covering the different things.
Why? You have ESPN who does sports 24/7.
But it's not like you can put Matt Lauer and Hoda Kotb and Al Roker in every single place that it's going to be.
That would be a tragedy.
I could do without that.
Anyway,
right. I would not miss that a whole lot.
I'm just making a point.
You see, they had a kid show. What is her name? Fiera, the woman.
Meredith Vieira.
Had a show where she had a bunch of little kids, and she showed them pictures of people to react, and she shows them a picture of this guy and goes, what do you think of that? I go, oh, he looks weird. What's wrong with him? It was Matt Lauer.
He has no hair.
I don't like what he's become. He's been on the air too long. You need term limits on TV, too.
We have gotten some mail.
All right, let's go to that.
Okay, and Jerry says, Rosemary Armeo is exactly right. The Wallace interview was a disaster. She came off sounding terrible and defensive, and Wallace did not even follow up as hard as he could have.
Yep.
Okay, and then... all right. And then, of course, Laura writes, hi, people, the snake by the late, great Oscar Brown Jr.
That was great. Now we can
look it up. That was the snake reference from earlier.
Right.
Thank you.
And Tom says, does anybody know what Ryan Seacrest has to do with the Olympics? I turn on NBC. I thought I had turned to a reality TV show.
He was...
Seacrest is the modern day Merv Griffin, as I understand.
Who? Well, I think he's more of a modern day Dick Clark. But he comes in and he kind of moderates the social media networks for the network. Although interestingly, another interesting move, Leslie Jones, who you may remember, got into a kerfuffle with her in a horrible. She was the guy that got the troll on Twitter kicked off permanently.
Yes.
For just this racist rant that he was doing, and anyway, she was making a whole bunch of various posts about the Olympics, and finally NBC said, "This is so good. Why don't you just come and cover the Olympics for us?"
Cool.
So that's cool. But yes, another good story.
I did not know that.
So we heard from Ozone Pete, who says, Clinton kerfuffles. Dear folks, quote, there's nothing else to go after Hillary for, .. end quote. What? Sorry, folks. Let's talk Syria. There's a pile of deadly mistakes and wrong turns right there. And then he says, in parentheses, platitudinous pleasantries. In other words, he's just take whatever you want.
Okay.
And then writes Pete from Tolland. Okay, and Doug says, hi, I'll take drone strikes over thousands killed, including civilians in Iraq, Afghanistan, when we had boots on the ground any day.
How about if we just have peace?
Well, there is that.
Well, by the way, that, of course, was the argumentation around the dropping of the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, the first one.
It was enough
why
already.
That second one?
Yeah, well, and Denise says, it was shared, it was like, what? Denise, maybe some of you can figure this out. That was not French. It was your error. Shame on you for being disrespectful to those whose language is French. What are we talking about?
Oh, that I said the name of the theater wrong. I am so sorry.
But we love your letters.
You know, it's what happens.
You know, I read that letter three times. I didn't even know what it was about. Thank you. I didn't even think that would rise
instantly
to that occasion.
I knew it. It's because you put her in the spotlight. By
I got so nervous.
She became a target.
Okay.
Right.
So
keep me third on the list, will you?
Hillary should take a page from others. The next time she's asked about the email, she should reply, next question, thank you. I agree.
Well, when in the first debate, one of the early debates with Bernie Sanders, and Martin O'Malley was still in, and he said, do you want to address Martin O'Malley's attack for you? And she said, no. That was her best
answer.
And
Bernie said, enough with the emails.
And I think, by the way, it helped him a great deal.
Yeah, me too.
It did. That was a really...
it showed some real class.
Although every pundit in the world has said he miscalculated and should have driven her... driven a stake through her heart with that issue.
He did have 47% of the delegates.
Yeah, it might have made a difference. Yeah. It's true. But it would not have been principled.
Robert says, panel, of course, drone strikes kill civilians. So do airstrikes, artillery fire, and bullets that miss the intended targets. War is hell, plain and simple.
Yeah, well, then why can't you keep track of how many they killed? It's like pretending that it's different.
Okay, no, that's no good because it gives us a thing, you know.
A link.
Link.
Blue.
And, gives us a thing.
And then that's all I... Oh, no, here's what Robert says. Panel, there's a huge problem with the pending crime bill. The allies of the Koch brothers have inserted a provision requiring proof of guilty mind to prosecute corporate executives for their company's misdeeds. That's a very high hurdle and open up the floodgates for I didn't know it was wrong defense. And that's from Denise. And that's that. That's what I have, Joe.
All right. Well, we are out of time, so all of that, the timing works out. My thanks to everyone who checked in. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to Alan and Rosemary and Libby, and we'll be back with another panel tomorrow. Thank you all. And we will continue the roundtable after this short break.